and peace to you from the Lord our God, creator of heaven and earth, and through the living spirit of Jesus Christ, who is present with us now. Hello, everybody, and welcome to worship today. How good it is to gather together. Today, we are celebrating all of the saints. We're celebrating All Saints Sunday. So I want to make sure that you have, if you want it, you have one of these little candles, because these little candles are beautiful, made of beeswax. You can smell them and maybe eat them, or whatever you need to do to keep yourself engaged today. But this is an opportunity for you to remember the people in your life who have shaped you and formed you, the people who you love, and the people who are no longer here with you in their bodies, people who have died. And we can use these candles to help us remember, and then also to help everybody witness and feel the presence of love surrounding us in this place. I'll tell you when to do it, but we'll light our candles and we'll put them in these little planters up here. There's sand in here, one here and one there, and then one in the back. And I'll let you know when we're going to do this. But hold on to your candle, and we will invite one another to worship together today. There are words printed in our bulletin, and we will call one another to worship. I'm the not bold, and you're the bold. I sing praise for the feet of the saints who walked this path long before me, who pointed out this path to me, who cleared the path with me.
We sing praise for the wisdom of the saints, who share the vision of God's face, who live faithfully in God's grace, who love God all the way.
I sing praise for the arms of the saints. My grandmas and grandpas who sheltered my weary soul from fear and despair, who literally had propped me up, marked my life for a new adventure, and gave me some flair for the dance. Rise as you are able in body or in spirit. invite you to settle into this place of peace. I invite you to turn your attention inward. And consider what it is you've done since we gathered together last. Where you've been, who you've met, what you've said, what you've not said. Invite you to remember the time that has passed. And give all of these thoughts to God. Consider what will be the week that is to come. Your plans, your preparation, your ideas for the future. I invite you to give all of these ideas to God. In the middle of your memories and your ideas about the future is the present moment. This is the place where God is. This is the place where you are. God can have your memories, and God is already in the future, but at this moment, God is sitting with you, in your heart. There is nothing to fear. And yet we can be afraid. We are afraid. We can be sad. We can grieve. We can celebrate and anticipate. And when we share these feelings, when we offer prayers out loud to one another, we encourage one another. We remember that we are not alone. That God also is in the midst of us, in your heart, and among us. So I invite us to share, as you feel comfortable. I invite you to lift aloud your joys, your concerns, your fears, your worries, your great sorrow. And I can't help but think that I'm a little sad right now, because normally Muriel would have her hand raised. She's always the first one to offer a prayer. And I would offer a prayer for Muriel now, knowing that she's in a new home with new people, and we miss her.
Good morning, everybody. My marvelous mom turned 79 today.
Oh. Can you pass this over to Beth?
daughters, or my friend Marilyn, she had cancer and it's come back. She only had it for 3 years or was in remission, and now she has it again.
Prayers for the Smith family. We were keeping Dan in our prayers, and he's a new saint this week.
Oh, good.
So prayers for his lovely wife, Gretchen, and their family.
Oh, thank you, Margaret. Thanks.
Some of you who know me know that when we go south in the winter, we worship at Congregation Beth Yam in Hilton Head, which is a Jewish congregation. And I would like to raise a prayer for all of those suffering in Pittsburgh and for their family and friends around the country who are suffering from this brutal loss.
I pray, hope you do too, that we have a really nice day on election day, so everyone goes out and votes.
Will you, I invite you to continue in a spirit of prayer with me. And we can share together a prayer of remembrance, a prayer of light, of grief, of love. We remember the great ancestors of our faith, from Abraham and Sarah to Paul and Phoebe, Martin Luther, John Wesley, Dorothy Day, Mother Teresa.
Ancestors of our faith, we remember you.
We remember the prophets and priests, the ministers and teachers who have taught us the way. Martin Luther King Jr., Oscar Romero, Anne Frank. We remember our grandparents and parents, aunties and uncles, those who have gone before us in our lifetime. We lift up the memories of children and grandchildren, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives and parents, whose lives ended too soon.
Those close in our hearts, we remember you.
We lift up to you, O God, the names of those we have lost in the past year, those who have died, knowing that they remain in your heart forever. As we read these names, as I share them aloud, I will pause after every name to remember, pray, and give thanks for their life. Rilla Kharki. Joan Elaine Gable. Lois Patsy Newman. Jan Patterson. Marjorie Evelyn McKee. And our friend Deb is going to read aloud the names of the people who were killed in the synagogue in Pittsburgh. And I will light candles for them too.
Richard Godfrey, Rose Malinger, Joyce Feinberg, Jerry Rabinowitz, Cecil Rosenthal, David Rosenthal, Bernice Simon, Sylvan Simon, Daniel Stein, Melvin Wax, Irving Younger.
We give thanks, O God, for all those who have gone on to join you beyond this life. We trust in the hope of resurrection and the promise of new life in Christ, and know that in our grief and celebration, O God, you are with us through it all, and we are not left alone. In the name of Christ, who in whom love lives forever. In the name of Christ we pray. And so in this confidence, we pray together. We pray as Jesus taught us. We pray to our common parent, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, but I also know that we live with grief. Grief changes us and never goes away. All of us grieve. All of us have lost. Our loved ones die. And that is the hard reality of love. But it is worth it. It is worth it to have them, to live lives filled with love. To open our hearts and know that when our hearts break, they open even more. So I invite you to remember the people who you love and who are dead, who have died. And even at this time, I remember my little dogs that have died. And we light candles for all souls. I invite you at this time, before you pass the peace, to light your candle and to leave it here as a witness to all of the saints that are gathered around us. And then when you feel comfortable, you can, if you want to, you can kneel at the rail. And then when you feel comfortable, I invite you to pass the peace to one another. We may need a little extra peace passed today. So I invite you to, with intention and love, light your candle and place them around the room and then pass the peace. I'm bringing the Christ candle down so you can light your candles from the Christ candle. If you want to, you can light your candle up here. If you don't have a candle, let me know and I'll bring one to you. I invite the kids to come forward.
Scripture is from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 through 6, and you can find it on page 244 in your Pew Bible. The New Heaven and the New Earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city of the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them, they will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more, mourning and crying and pain will be no more, and the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life."
To be honest, and I guess that's probably the hoped for desired goal, so that I would be honest when I'm standing up here. If I were to be honest, I would say that moving to Duluth and starting a new ministry here with all of you was hard. I talked about it in among my family, like it felt like a hosta plant that has kind of been ripped up by the roots, picked up, and then planted over here in this hole. And it was great, and it's wonderful being with you. But while I was right smack in it, it was hard. Because I was coming home after a day of work. I came home to a home that didn't feel like home. I mean, it was a house, but it wasn't mine. And I was pretty sure there was a ghost in there, and I heard noises at night, but I didn't recognize. And things weren't where they were supposed to be. I'd walk into a room, and I'd reach over here to turn the light on, and the light is over here. Or I don't even know where the light switches are for some of the stuff. Like, I don't know how to turn on the light in my living room. I'm sure that'll figure out. Because let me come over and help me figure out how to turn the light on. It was hard. And my stuff was all there. Some of the stuff, I kind of went through and threw a bunch of stuff. But my stuff wasn't in the right spot, you know? In my old house, it was over here. The books on the shelf were in a certain spot. I knew where they were. Now they're all jumbled up. If I were honest, I would say that I was just plain homesick. That's kind of a hard feeling. You know, there's nothing you can really do about it. I don't know. Maybe you felt that way too. The word nostalgia. Anybody ever heard that word? Nostalgia is a fancy word. I don't know what language it is. But the definition of nostalgia is homesick. That kind of rang true to me while I was experiencing it. I was walking around my house, remembering not the place where I actually was, but I was remembering my old house, how it used to be. And I felt sick in my heart, wanting to be where I used to be. But being in this new space where I didn't know where anything was, I didn't have that connection. The pull of the past was stronger for me than the excitement. Maybe it is that we're all homesick. I feel this way all the time. It's my personality to be a little melancholy. I love it. Homesick.
homesick for the place where I don't know where I'm not. I feel like I'm homesick for every house where I'm not, which is a kind of a weird way to live. Homesick for the place of my youth, maybe? The place where I felt safe? Or homesick for the place that I wish I had? Homesick for the place that never even existed, but we wish, that I wish with my whole heart existed. The place where everyone is. I'm homesick for Thanksgiving now, knowing that it's coming, that all of the people that in my family, and my extended family, and my adopted grandma, and my adopted mom, and my adopted aunties will be. But I want to be where everybody is, where my grandparents are, and where my non-existent grandchildren are, where all of those people before me and the people who are to come gather around the table. Even if that is not physically possible for me, I have this longing for an ideal. Do you wish that too? Do you feel a little nostalgia, a little homesick? Is there a longing to have all of these saints gathered around the table? We're homesick, maybe then, not only for the home, the physical home of maybe of our youth, or when things were exactly right, but we're homesick for God. And then that's when the nostalgia hits. So I can't have God, but I can fixate and think about the things exactly as they were, and then maybe recreate the things exactly as they were. And then that's where I start to begin to wish. It's not praying anymore, it's just wishing. Nostalgia, although I live in that space, I can speak with it about it with a little bit of authority, knowing that it doesn't really help. Nostalgia paralyzes me. It keeps me reaching for the wrong side, where the light switch is not. What is the antidote to nostalgia? How does one get over feeling nostalgic? I would offer an antidote today for those who might be feeling nostalgic. Maybe none of you are. But I think that sometimes this time of year where it starts to get a little darker, a little cozier inside than it is outside, nostalgia starts to set in. And we want to tend to stay. I would humbly offer today that the antidote to nostalgia is tradition. Where nostalgia paralyzes, tradition hands over. That's what it means. It's the Latin word. The root of it comes from the word to share, to hand over, literally. Tradition hands off things of our past. Nostalgia says, back in my day. Nostalgia is a museum where other people can look, but they can't touch. This is my stuff. This is where it goes. That's what nostalgia says. Tradition, on the other hand, says, I love this. Here, you can have it. Handing over stuff, the things that we love, is risky. Because it means for sure that what you love is probably going to get broken. It for sure will change. I cannot tell you how many times I've gotten books back that I've loaned out where people have bent back the covers or, you know, flicked the pages or smeared stuff on them or even spilled coffee. I can't tell you how many times I have done that. And I used to be that I didn't want to loan out my books because I wanted to preserve my precious books. But I realized I wasn't preserving my books. I was hoarding my stuff. So it turns out books like to be shared. The information wants to be shared freely.
And when I learned to let go of my precious books, I learned how many other things that I was hoarding. My sister, maybe you don't know, but now you do, I have a sister. She's 2 years, she's much older than I am. And she lives with mental illness. I guess it runs in my family. And my sister and I have a very difficult relationship. She's not here right now, but she knows I'm talking about this today. We have gone for quite some time where we have not engaged with one another because it's been too painful. It's been hard on both ends. And it's taken me a long time. See, when we were growing up, she was the cool one, much more beautiful. She was active, she was athletic, she was in all activities. She had all the friends. And I was quieter, a little more weird, did not play sports. And she would include me. I mean, not all the time, but enough that it felt cool. She would include me when her friends went to the Dairy Queen. And we would sit in the bathroom. I don't know why. We would sit in the bathroom and talk for hours about everything. And then she got sick. But not sick like in a way where you feel bad for her, but sick in a way where she just makes you mad all the time. And she stopped being the person that I knew. Even her handwriting changed. I didn't recognize her. She did not act the same. And I spent a long time, and I still struggle with this, remembering the person that she was. And that prevented me from appreciating the person that she is now. I was in love with the person that I remembered. She wasn't that person anymore. I needed to learn how to love her today, not yesterday. And I guess that's what love does. That's the good thing about this tradition, is that you love the thing that you're passing over. And the irony of this love thing is that it changes you. The love allows for change. I learned to let go of how I thought things should be. And in the process of doing that, I became more of the person that I wanted to be. The saints in heaven are like this. They're the holders of this tradition. The saints in heaven, the great cloud of witnesses that we are remembering today, they are not standing around in heaven or even around in this space, wishing that things on earth were like they were when they were kids. The saints in heaven are not standing around saying, back in my day. The saints in heaven are standing around cheering you on. Therefore, this is Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings. Let us also run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. The saints in heaven are cheering us. So we're standing here, we're gathered here in this space, and all of this stuff is nice. We've got a lot of nice stuff in this church. And we can get nostalgic about this stuff. And this stuff is not why we are here. We are here because God is here. See, the home of God is among us, and God dwells with us, and we are God's people. God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Death will be no more. Suffering and mourning and pain will be gone.
God is our beginning and our end. God is making all things new. And sometimes when we gather like this, we can see it. And we know these words because somebody shared them with us. These words have been handed down to us. This is our tradition. We dream this dream of peace because our grandmas and our grandpas dreamt it before us, even before we were born. And I know this new heaven and this new earth is not the way the world is now. Holy cow, do I know this is not the way the world is now. And some of this junk feels really old to me right now. But the new heaven and the new earth is the kingdom of God, is the dream of God that's been planted so deeply in my heart. And I can see it. I see it. Way off. And this future is the place that I'm homesick for. Let us walk there together. May it be so.
I invite you to stand if you're able to sing our next hymn, number 712, and the words are on the screen.
In singing and blessing our time together, our doxology is give thanks with a grateful heart. I invite you to rise as you're able in body or in spirit.
I will lift you from all your fears.
invite you to turn in your bulletin as we share together the sacrament of communion. Knowing that you are welcome at this place, everybody is welcome here. This is not my table, this is not your table, this is God's table. God invites everybody. That you are welcome here, whether this is your first time or you've never been here before, whether you've been here 1,000 times, whether you're black or white, you're gay, you're straight, you're a man, you're a woman, you're a child, you're an older person, you are all welcome here. We will share communion by intinction. You'll be given a piece of bread and you can dip it in the juice. And if you want to, you can come up to the front and pray at the altar. At the rail, there'll be 2 stations, one in the back by the door and one up here. And I invite us to share.
The invitation is simple. Come and eat. Not a meal to nourish the body, but to feed the soul. We receive the bread and drink connected to the people who came before us, to the saint of old who felt unworthy, to the seeker eager to know God, to the teenager who wonders what it's all about, to the child who eats with unburdened faith. Woven into this time, the hopes and tears of generations. There is great joy here. No one is turned away, for God is the host.
God is in this place,
and in our hearts.
Open yourself to everlasting God.
We feel the presence of the Spirit.
Remember God made fresh.
Jesus who taught us a new way.
Tender, transforming God, you have invited us to gather at this table.
To taste the feast, the same abundant promises offered to our ancestors in faith.
Time and time again, you've offered your grace.
Even as we have stepped away, you continue to call us to be your people.
You have never left us.
We praise you for second, third, and fourth chances. You are ever patient, always faithful.
We give thanks for this time of celebration.
For the one this meal remembers, for the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
With those who have gone before us,
whose hands touch the bread, whose lips embrace the cup, these gifts are made sacred, in and through the faithful presence of loving people.
This is the mystery of our faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ is present with us now.
Gathered with his friends, Jesus took bread, broke it, and said, "This is my body, broken for you. Eat this and remember me." And pouring the wine, "This is my blood, spilled out for you. Drink this and remember me."
God of all, send your Spirit in this place, to this place, so that these people gathered here in this moment may know your presence. As we eat the bread and juice, make us one with the saints, and with our sisters and brothers around the world.
Help us to know you, to be guided by the Holy Spirit, and to live justly and compassionately, now and forever. Amen.
This is the feast prepared for you. Come and share, for all is ready.
Thank you.
of connecting God. We pray together, saying, creative, connecting God, you have sent your Spirit and made us the body of Christ. From childlike faith to youthful energy, from middle-aged mindfulness to elders' wisdom, we thank you for this time, this remembrance. Amen. There are announcements printed in our bulletin, and there's the newsletter that just came out. Are there other announcements? Are there announcements you'd like to lift up or share at this time?
I have put out a November chart for flowers, and it's in the back. I'm saying, I don't know who brought the beautiful flowers today, but I followed them here when I was here yesterday. Thank you.
Beautiful flowers and flower chart. Sam.
I would like to remind you that the grief group is starting this Thursday from 5:30 to 7. I definitely can use some more members. It doesn't have to be a death. It can be a loss of health, loss of your life as it was, as Sarah was talking about. So please come.
So I just wanted to back up Catherine's talk on grief group. Shortly, not too long after my daughter passed away, I joined her grief group, and I just wanted to say it was wonderful, and it doesn't have to be for a loss, like Catherine said, it could be for anything you're going through that's troubling you, and I just want to say how very, very helpful it was. She's a wonderful leader for the grief group.
Mm-hmm. And a reminder that we support one another. That's good. Let's sing. I invite us to rise as you are able, in body or in spirit, and sing. You know, we're singing all my favorite hymns. I Know Whom I Have Believed. 714. is nothing in life, nor in death, nor anything in between that can separate you from the great love which is found in Christ Jesus, which is surrounding you and deep within you and imploring you forward. May you know the great love of Jesus today. May you go in peace. May you go in peace to love and serve God and one another.